Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the latest YouGov annual poll released the day before yesterday. They put Barack and Michelle Obama on the top spots of the most admired man and woman in the world. And I'll tell you, given the insanity of this last couple of years with Trump at the helm, not surprising. But, you know, they did unseat Bill Gates in the top spot, or at least Barack Obama unseated Bill Gates. Michelle Obama has been there for a couple of years now. So you've got Michelle Obama as one, Angelina Jolie, and the Queen Elizabeth on the women's side. And on the men's side, you've got President Obama, Bill Gates, and Xi Jinping, which maybe they overrepresented the Chinese vote and maybe stuffed the ballots. Who knows? Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, the somber day and where we go from here. I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the fabulous Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
How you doing, Rick?
I'm in this weird moment because I'm sad. You saw the funeral stuff today, the casket in the Capitol, and you know my feelings around what that's going to mean going forward. And then, like I said earlier, I had this great conversation where it gave me some hope that maybe there's a chance to pull some Trump supporters around to sanity. And it gave me a little bit of hope. So on a day where I was in despair, a little bit of hope.
Yeah, and, you know, hope is what this country desperately needs right now. I think Biden and Harris are going to give it to us. And I think that the debates are going to be where they really shine. I think it's not just, I mean, RBG is gigantic, but surrounding death in general in this administration, they don't have a respect for the sanctity of life. And so I don't think that they understand what they're doing. He is announcing tomorrow. She is buried next week. So she's not even in the ground.
Right.
And he's trying to nominate. It's an insanity, and it's just how they do the same thing with the coronavirus deaths. That's something else, and that's what sociopaths are able to separate that out from their head. And you know, as one of the things that I've talked to so many different psychiatrists and psychologists that have said, sociopathy or whatever, sociopathic tendencies spread. And so when you see Trump, and then you see people mimic Trump. Insanity. I mean, it really does spread. And so there is a Trump virus in this country as well. But I do appreciate the impromptu. I believe it was Haley Snow who started the chant. And it was, again, impromptu, vote him out when he went and did his photo op at RBG's Supreme Court setting yesterday. And he got booed heavily. And then, you know, he was wearing a mask at this time, so you couldn't see his facial expressions. And that's probably why he was wearing a mask, because he knew he was going to get booed and he didn't want that to be covered.
Yeah, but here's what the thing, Scott. I have no idea why he showed up at all.
Right.
He didn't show up for John Lewis or Elijah Cumming. I mean, there's been no, you know, as you said, he's a sociopath. There's been no inkling of him paying respect to anyone. Why this now is one of the things that I questioned yesterday. It makes no sense.
Pandering. He's pandering for votes. He wants to try and trick people into thinking that he supports the court, the Supreme Court, the rule of law. And for people who may not pay much attention to the news, all they see is, oh, this guy visited RBG. And that was it.
No.
So I think it's just propaganda. It's like him holding the Bible upside down in front of the church.
But that, just, you know, that was actually very poetic. I mean, it was exactly what you would expect from him. I mean, from my perspective, I said, you know, I remember saying this when he was holding it upside down. If it would have burst into flames, that would have been a perfect photo op.
I mean, at this point, that wouldn't shock me either. So, you know, I just find it, you know, if we step back and we just think about what she represented to this country, for a lot of people, most of the country, as a thought leader and a leader overall, just in general in America, I think people are disgusted by, again, the fact that people die, and it seems like Trump has a tendency to attack dead people.
Well, and they can't fight back, Scott. So, exactly. I mean, that's it.
John McCain, well, they do fight back.
Losers and suckers, Scott. They died.
And that's why Cindy McCain endorsed Biden. And that's why, you know, you're going to see a bunch of other people involved with the court system get political and push for Biden. And that's why I mean, this is really, I think RBG really, it just in regards to timing, I know it's if you look at the positive part of it, it is galvanizing this nation for the push that we probably need to have a landslide so that even Trump doesn't contest it. I mean, he'll probably contest anything. He could lose every state.
Right. No, they've got the lawyers already set up. But here's the thing. You know, you said tomorrow he's going to nominate his choice. And originally it was supposed to be today. Yeah. But, you know, everyone, you know, kind of, whoa, wait a minute. That's even too cold for a sociopath. Right. But, you know, this Amy Coney Barrett is who he's supposedly going to choose. I guess the insiders are saying, and I'll believe it when I see it. But, you know, I look at this woman and I got to tell you, I'm scared. This is a theocrat through and through. This is somebody who's going to take us back to the 1950s that never were. Mm-hmm. And I see nothing but bad.
Yeah, I'm releasing some videos tonight on her public speeches at the Federal Society and elsewhere. We're back on the investigations point for the final 39 days here. And with it is the first two videos I posted. One was like, what will be in a Trump court? Who knows? And then the entire room laughs. So it's just a weird kind of thing where she's like making fun of them. But, you know, I've seen hours and hours and hours of her speaking now, and it's, you know, it's judge stuff. So most of it's not controversial. But then if you dig into it and you see, oh, well, I believe states have all the power, like the way that she's speaking is in a way that Trump should not be accountable to anything and shouldn't be forced to do anything regarding to the virus or anything else. I think you're right. There might be he might be testing the waters between now and then to see if anything comes forward or comes out about her. And then he announces someone else and people are like, whoa, what? I thought that this was, well, that's fake news.
Yeah.
Cause he's done that all the time. I mean, Kellyanne Conway must have resigned like a dozen times. You know, like she's leaving the White House. I think she's actually gone now. I don't even know. But they used to do that just to muddy the waters. Oh, Sean Spicer was fired. Sean Spicer quit. Sean Spicer resigned. And it's like they do all this to just shake it up. And then you're like, I don't even want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, tons of misinformation. I'm still not believing that he's going to not put Ivanka on the court.
That's what I thought that he's not. I was like, oh, this is a shoo-in for her.
She needs a job, man.
It's perfect. I mean, I think that, you know, I she switched her party affiliation. I think she's given up on trying to act like she's on the left at all in any capacity. You know, it's. I don't know how they're going to try and rebrand themselves after this, but there's going to be a very small population in the United States that embrace them. And yeah. It's not going to be very fine people.
No, it's scary stuff. But, there, you know, something good today happened. The Republican-controlled Senate did pass a resolution from Joe Manchin that and I can't believe that you have to pass a resolution that says this, but they did, reaffirming its commitment to the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. I got to be honest, after all of these elections that we've had, all of these, you know, a couple hundred years now, that we had to have this resolution is just mind-blowing to me, but it did pass the Senate.
I honestly don't know if it was yesterday or today or tomorrow, but I do remember it happening, and it was unanimous in regards to this would be a clear transfer of power. I think, you know, something that's a preview of the debate coming is Biden said, you know, if he refuses to leave, then we'll have the military remove him if need be. And he was serious. And of course he's serious, because what, like, you, I think what we got to look at is he's looking for some kind of desperate opening here. He's looking for some kind of law, some kind of gimme, some kind of way for him to get poker chips and not have to pay taxes on a scheme by his dad. This is something that happened in the casino where his dad gave him millions of dollars via poker chips, and it was like a tax felony, but it went through different LLC. It just was a whole mess. So, I mean, I think that he is built for attempting to, he could lose by a landslide and say this is all blah, like, and he'll say that for the rest of his life. But like, when it comes down to the country moving on, it is really gonna be on these Republican senators to shift gears and accept the fact that those are the results. Because I think one of the things that people are gonna have to realize is there's a lot of Republicans that can get into a lot of legal trouble here, because if you're spreading misinformation intentionally, I want you to go look at Roger Stone's life, Michael Flynn's life, Michael Cohen's life, Paul Manafort's life. You know what I mean? Look at everybody who was involved with that. Now, if you want to talk about Americans that are not only working with a foreign power to interfere in our elections, but then also are doing illegal acts during the election, like, we're going to catch you. You're going to go to prison. And we're not going to, I'm never going to drop this. This is another thing. But, you know, even just the false call of voter fraud is voter fraud. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know if it's represented as the Streisand effect, but like, every time that he brings up something and acts like this is law, it puts a spotlight on it and it makes it so that people can't actually commit the crime. And so the Postal Service right now is under a microscope of everybody. So if anything happens in the Postal Service, that's going to get media coverage probably. Like, I would say. And so he's put this spotlight on these things and his little scheme. So what I want to know is what we don't see.
Right. What's the why the diversion?
If he's willing to do that, what else is he willing to do? I mean, he's basically turned the United States government and the DOJ into WikiLeaks for 2020. And that's, you know, that was the Democratic coalition was founded in 2016, and we went head to head with WikiLeaks, but we were Americans releasing documents that we legally acquired and videos and photos. And you know, when it comes to the transfer of power, you can't talk about well, we'll see what happens. No, that's not an option. That's not how our country works, and it will never work that way.
Right.
And it's sad and pathetic that he says stuff like that, but keep talking like that. Thank you, Donald. I really appreciate all the pep talks that you're giving us and all the excitement that you're giving us, because it's just riling people up. It's just making them, I can do another hour of phone calls.
No, the reality is, you're right. It is riling people up, but it's also riling up his base as well, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard people tell me, you can't trust the post office, they're no good. And I'm going, but do you send your mortgage payment through? Well, yeah. Do you send your electric bill? Well, yeah. Do you send anything? Well, yeah. But they're corrupt and they're stealing everything? Which is it? And, you know, he's got them thinking irrationally. And it's kind of scary that, you know, they're simply following along.
Right. And we're as crazy as this is, we're studying a lot of cults, and we're looking into cult-like activity and how to defog people in regards to their commitment to a cult and to start thinking for themselves again. Now, we're not going to be successful in a lot of the efforts, but it's going to be worth, you know, getting people to think on their own. And I think that's going to start by us making new laws in this country about what's representative of news and what's representative of opinion and what's just completely absurdly false and narrative and maybe a blog post like Fox News is basically now.
Yeah.
And so we got to, I think that's one of the things that we'll have to go over is every part of corruption. Trump has exposed our gaps, and we need to fill them all with laws to make sure that no president can ever be like Trump ever again. oh, if they commit a crime in office or they committed it before and then we catch them, like, they should be arrested.
No, I'm right there with you, but, you know, part of it falls on us. I mean, because I can't tell you how many people reiterate the, oh, it's fake, it's all fake news. It's all fake. If I don't hear it from Fox News or OAN, it's all fake news. You know, when the FBI, when Trump's own FBI comes out and says the Russians are meddling in our election and we don't believe it, there's something seriously wrong going on. When Vladimir Putin himself comes out today and says, hey, how about we make a mutual agreement that I won't screw with your elections if you don't screw with mine? Basically saying, yeah, I screwed with your elections in 2016 and I'm doing it now, but I propose we stop.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And he said he's not after that. Like you said, he's also not interfering. I mean, I did an interview today for the podcast with a professor from Yale, or he's a fellow from Yale, and he had just written a book about Russian different disinformation campaigns and how they've been going on for decades and decades across the world, and they try to have more of like an evil regime part of it. So how America was, I guess, the attempt was to spread democracy throughout the world, and then Russia was kind of against that. That's just my understanding of it. But the whole biting...
Wasn't that the whole Cold War? We were trying to spread democracy. They were trying to spread communism. Wasn't that the crux of the entire Cold War?
I don't know. I'm younger than that, you know. I can say that the Cold War basically it translated online now. So the internet has become a weapon.
Right.
As you see, Trump uses the internet as a weapon. Trump uses the virus as a weapon. Trump uses everything as a weapon against the American people. He uses the FBI against people. He uses the FBI against the FBI. Like, you can't undermine someone who works for you on national security concerns of an attack that's current right now. And let's not say attack, undermining our democracy. No. It is an attack on America, because all of these things, if you think about it like this, if he was not elected, or if things were different, if the flood of propaganda wasn't so prevalent, things may have been different in many aspects. But I think we got to make sure that you're absolutely right. Russia this, Russia that, they're going to do what they're going to do.
And we've got to hold them on. Hold that thought until we come back from the break, because I want to get into this a little bit on the other side. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Scott Dworkin, co-founder of the Democratic Coalition and host of the Dworkin Report. Going to take a quick break, right back with Scott. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1961. That was the day when Herbert Lee was murdered just outside of Liberty, Mississippi. He was a successful black cotton farmer who became active in efforts to register black voters. Lee had 9 children. He was one of the few area black farmers with a vehicle. This made him very valuable to the voter registration movement. Lee would drive Bob Moses from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee around Amet County to reach unregistered voters. It was dangerous work to register black sharecroppers and farmers in rural Mississippi. Attempts by black residents to gain legal or economic equality were met with threats and violence. On the morning of his murder, Lee had come to the Westbrook Cotton Gin just outside of Liberty to drop off a truckload of cotton. There, he was met by a childhood friend, Mississippi State Representative E.H. Hurst. Hurst came up to the truck and started shouting at Lee. Then he took out a gun and shot Herbert Lee in the head. Witnesses stated that Lee had brandished a tire iron at Hurst. Hurst claimed self-defense. A jury declared the murder was justifiable homicide. Lewis Allen, a black farmer and timber worker, was one who had testified about witnessing the shooting. Later, he recanted his testimony, saying that he had lied about Lee threatening Hurst because he feared for his life. After Allen began to talk about what he actually saw that day, he became the victim of harassment and beatings. Finally, on January 31st, 1964, he too was gunned down in his driveway. No one was ever convicted or even arrested for his murder.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So like I said a minute ago, you know, I'm looking at Vladimir Putin saying, you know, we promise not to interfere in your elections. If you don't interfere in ours, I promise we won't do it again. Oh, I mean, oops. I mean, come on. We know that they did it in 2016. We know what they did now. And the FBI director, Trump's own FBI guy, said they're doing it now. And yet you still got the Trumpkins with their heads in the sand or up there. Yeah, that. I'm here with Scott Dworkin, co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, host of the Dworkin Report, hanging around with us. Scott, thanks for hanging around.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'm always glad to spend some time with you. And the few media appearances that I've done over the years, the last 2 years, that is, because of Russian propaganda and other people that like to spin stuff, and also, you know, online organizing doesn't need to be someone that's on cable or whatever. And so I think,
I appreciate you taking time for us though. You're always willing to come on and talk with us, and I appreciate it. But I want to go back to this thing with Putin and Trump and this affinity Trump seems to have for the dictators around the world. You know, does he, when he sees a statement like this from Putin, do you think it goes through his head that, yeah, they're doing this stuff? Even though he did look into his eyes and did believe him when he said they didn't?
I think he thinks that he's gotten at least $100 million directly from Putin. I think that he, through that, loves him. And with anybody who's made him that much money before, in his mind, and maybe Putin conveyed that he was behind a lot of these deals that happened. He probably did, I would assume. And so Putin could say that he walked on water like yesterday, and Trump would be like, well, that's what he said. I believe him. But like, you know, it's like the biggest liar in the world believing like one of the biggest dictators in the world. And so it's like, there's no like love lost between either of them. He's never had any complaints about him. So obviously Trump's made money off of him, because that's the only way that he treats other dudes that nicely, is if he's made a lot of money off of them. Yeah. So, yeah.
It all comes back to the money, doesn't it?
Always.
It's all back to the money. I wanted to get some of your thoughts also on today's comments. Evidently, Trump was in Atlanta, pandering to the African-American community. He claims he's going to make Juneteenth a federal holiday, and he's going to designate and prosecute the KKK as terrorists. How do you think this plays with the knuckle-dragging, Trump flag-waving supporters?
I'm not sure, because it's so racist in so many levels. I talked to, we have a sort of African-American advisory council at the coalition, and I, as a white dude, I wouldn't understand a lot of it, but it seems like using the word platinum, for instance, is racist, and it's a ploy. I don't know. It was taken as offense by a few of my friends, and you know, I kind of find it appalling that they would name it that. But at the same time, you know, I appreciate anything he ever does that, if it were to be positive, that'd be great. I just don't believe he's going to do any of that. I think it's all just a lie. And I don't know how anyone of any race can sit there and, you know, look at the biggest racist in the world and act like he's not. And so, like, he's the king of white supremacists, if he is a king of anything. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, who they're pushing for. and why they would think that Trump would be a better option than Biden. But I think it's a very small population in this country. Now, at the same time, you know, there's going to be people who obviously welcome. Like, I spoke to Martin Luther King III, and he was willing to meet with Trump the beginning of his before his administration started. And he wanted to talk about voting rights and everything else. And because it's important, he's the guy that's there. So I have to meet with him. Like, I want to meet with him, talk to him about what's happening. And it just seems like every friend that's meet with them that's a leader in the African-American community has come out and saying, like, this is frivolous. Like, he's not, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's just saying what we, what I want to hear or whatnot.
He's a salesman. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a salesman. And, you know, he is a charismatic salesman at that. And he's trying to snow these people. There's no doubting that.
Right. No, and it's the Trump template. It's what he does with everything.
Yeah. And that's what he does, because he doesn't prepare for anything. Everything is reading who he's with. It's that salesman's pitch that he's got and that instinct that he's got. And look, I give him credit. I mean, I can't sell ice water to someone wandering around in the desert. Clearly he can try and sell opportunity zones to African Americans who have been screwed over by those opportunity zones time and time again. He's still trying to pitch it. Good on him for trying, I guess.
Yeah, I think he just wants his name to be in the title of a news clipping that says different minority groups throughout the country, that he's assisting them in some way.
Right.
And that money is going to them in some way. And he's doing something that's new for them in some way. And I think they have a checklist and they're going through that now. And, you know, with 38 days tomorrow out to Election Day, it's a little late for all this. It's a little late for him to give aid money and try and bribe Puerto Rico so he can get more votes in Florida. Like, it's really just, it's pathetic. And
the Puerto Rico thing cracks me up, though. I mean, because seriously, I mean, I remember him throwing the paper towels.
That's exactly what I
was. And while that may be everyone's favorite moment, my favorite moment was he was helping to load a pickup truck. He took two boxes and put them in the back of the truck and told the guy to leave. Right. And I'm going, wait a second, that truck's, you got two boxes in it.
Yeah, I think it was Pence, and they did multiple shots of it. There was a whole story about how that was made. I don't know what that was, but it was a wash. It wasn't just that, but it was the lack of like compassion. Like, he can't be a human being around people. You know, one of the most joyous moments I've seen in Puerto Rico is there was a elementary school and a bunch of teachers in there, and all of a sudden you see the video pop on, and it's everybody screaming, and then they're like running through the halls like woo, and it's because the power just went back on.
Right.
And you think like, wait, they've been going to school with no power, and some of them with no water. Like, think about that. It is America, and there's no running water in some places and no power. And he doesn't care.
But there are parts of West Virginia. Virginia, you know, go through a lot of the South. There's parts of the state, right here in our backyard. You don't have to go to Puerto Rico for that.
Right. And if you look at every different segment of the population, whether it's white or any different racial segment, like, he's offended everybody. Yeah. He's done something hideous to every group of Americans out there. Like, he's done it to immigrants, and he's done it to anyone. Like, any, it doesn't matter who it is. There's no one that he's above attacking. And I think that that's what, you know, we'll see next week in the debates, you know, whether or not, you know, it may just be boring and nothing really happens. But I have a feeling that, you know, Biden might be able to bait Trump. Trump says something stupid, and then the rest of the debates are canceled. Like, those are rigged. I'm only doing the Fox News one. I'm going to try and do this debate. Like, let's do Joe Rogan. And then they would do that, and probably Trump would ramble and screw himself again. Like, it just wouldn't work out for him. He always thinks he can best it. That's why he did that, all those interviews with Woodward, because he thought he could game it. He thought that he could beat him. He's like, well, if he just hears my story one more time. That's why he keeps on calling on Jim Acosta.
Yeah.
That's why he keeps on Jonathan Carl right there. He's like, this time I'll get Brian Karam. I'm going to get you this time. And he puts his foot in his mouth because if he tells a smidgen of the truth, it's so gross. The truth is so disgusting that it gets news. I don't know. The Puerto Rico bit is just amazing to see. It's amazing to see him try and pander to different groups throughout the country, and him to be like so political with everything that he does, without any sense of like, what does America need? What does America need as a whole? And how can I, you know, quell some of this violence and disorder and chaos throughout the country instead of by igniting it and pouring gasoline on it? And then whatever else you want to insert there, but he's not being nice to our country. He's attacking our own people. And that's what a dictator does. And that's what's happening right now. And yep. If you look at the death toll mixed with everything else, the death toll in Puerto Rico, the death toll from hurricanes, the death toll from like wildfires, and he just doesn't care about any of it.
No, this is a death cult, and it is what it is, and it's what we've been saying for quite some time now. There's no surprise in what we're seeing. Last thing I wanted to get to you with you, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Texas, but you had a federal judge down there that blocked the elimination of the straight ticket ballot. Also, you have the Republicans, and this is the one that caught me yesterday that I thought was quite interesting. The Texas GOP and a number of elected Republicans are suing the governor for expanding early in-person voting because of the pandemic. Right. They clearly do not want people coming out to vote. They clearly do not want everyone there in Texas to vote, as they don't want people across the country to vote. So I'm curious your thoughts. Does anyone pay attention to this? Does this matter, do you think?
I think people can read through a lot of this nonsense. Some people won't try to read through it. They'll just, okay, whatever. Like, that's not going to affect me. That's just whatever they're going to do. It's obviously another desperate attempt to try and have a power grab and have representatives that are elected that are not reflected in the communities. And I think that's what we see right now, is we see a bunch of rich old white dudes that are running the country, and that is not reflective of the country.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, they're never going to be able to relate with a lot of people in the country, and they're not even trying. And so you've got all these people doing, I mean, think of how many bills are on McConnell's desk that he won't even let them vote on because politically it'd be bad.
Yeah, well, like 500 now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing for a job? What are you even here? And I know I say that like every time I'm on your show, but like, what is the point of you? Your point is to appoint judges? What's wrong with you? There's people dying. Like, I keep on sitting back, and I can't even believe that we haven't had, Trump's not even upset. Like, he's not even mad. I'm
no.
mad.
No, and we find out now.
Yeah.
We find out he knew all along. Look, we knew he knew.
We knew he knew, but we got the tape.
But now you've got the tapes. We knew he knew. We knew he had the information. There was no, oops, I made a mistake. They made a conscious choice to do exactly what they did, and it's cost $200,000. And possibly they're saying, you know, upwards of, you know, $300,000 by the end of the year. This was a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a whole line of like, well, millions more people would have died. No. We're not going to go that route. If you had done nothing, then we would have more people alive in this country. If he had actually done nothing,
yeah.
if he didn't do anything, but instead he used masks against us as a weapon, and he still is. He's spreading the virus right now to try and get votes, but he's going to make his own people sick. It's just like everything is wrong about. He's doing everything wrong, and I'm not sure he'll ever recognize that. But thank you, Trump. Keep on going.
Keep on going. Scott, as always, I appreciate the time, man. Great stuff. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you very much. And visit masksnow.org to see how you can help out our effort there.
There you go. Good stuff. As always, our good friend Scott Dworkin. The reality is, you know, like Scott said a minute ago, you know, we know that the name is coming out. We know who is, we know they're going to nominate, you know, some crazy person tomorrow. But the question is, you know, does it matter? Does hypocrisy matter? Does your word matter? I mean, I think back to my grandfather always said, you got two things in this world. You got your word and you got your things. You got your little danglies. Don't break either of them. And you've got an entire Republican Party who's breaking their word. They ran in 2016 on let the people decide. And what's interesting to me is the polls are, you know, the majority of the country believes that we should wait until the election now. The Republicans have set this standard. They have set this precedent that you wait until the election, especially this close to the election. Now, it breaks down by party lines. Overall, the country, 57 to 38, 57% say it should be left to whoever wins the election. They should be able to decide. 90% of Democrats say, yes, it should be left to that after the election. 7% of Democrats say Trump should nominate and it should be confirmed. Independents, more along the line of the country, 61-34, 61% saying, hey, let's whoever the next person is, let us decide, we'll make this an election issue. Oddly enough, only 80% of Republicans say that Trump should nominate and have the justice confirmed, with 16% saying, I'll wait until after the election. So 16% of honest Republicans. I didn't know that they were there. I didn't know that there were that many. But 16%, and I guess that seems about right? The 16% of them who remember 2016 and remember what they were screaming back then and believe in a bit of consistency. Yeah, so there you go. I'm still thinking it's going to be Ivanka Trump. I'm still thinking, you know, the kid needs a job. The Republicans have already said, doesn't matter who he puts up, they're going to push him. They're going to push that person through. It's going to be a woman. So, you know, what better woman to have on the Supreme Court than someone that Donald Trump said, if it wasn't his daughter, he'd be dating her. And then there's that creepy picture with him when she was, you know, little, which is just weird. So weird. But like we've been saying all week, you know, the fight doesn't end. Got to call your senators, call early, call often, and say, look, you Pat Toomey, you ran on, you ran in 16. You backed Trump. You backed the whole, let's wait. You got to do it this time. You got to be consistent. Don't lie to us. That's what they've done. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Should they wait until after the election? Can you justify the hypocrisy? Is it really just about power and greed? Is it just about that at all? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.